Good morning, good noon, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's your Orlando here again, bringing you the new episode of Opera Wears. I'm finally back to my opera after, how long is it? A month or so? What I did is I went to Carnegie Hall 4 times within a week and got myself tired. I went to Sir Simon Rattle with BRSO, Broffin, and the Royal Conservatory with Peter Andajon. Unfortunately enough, to be honest, none of them can be considered a very exciting performance, but the last one is a bit more interesting compared to the others. I thought I updated my last episode, probably within 2 weeks, but I just realized that it had already been like 20 days. Time passed too fast. This is very sad. I miss this podcast so much. Anyway, it's May 18th right now, and is a Saturday night. Yesterday, I went to see Joan Adams' contemporary opera, Nino's last performance at the Met. And tomorrow, I'll be going to the Met again for a revival. Gluck's Orpheus and Eurydice. You might want to query right now if you like Nino so much that you cannot live without it. This is a great opera, but anyway, it's kind of abstract and too contemporary. I mean, I'm talking about the setting. Long story short, this is the first soul ever opera that makes me want to leave after 20 minutes, if so, in a respectful manner. And I actually physically throw off during the intermission. It is not because I don't like Adam's composition or his style. This answer is really obvious because my favorite composer is Philip Glass, who is also a minimalist. It is not all the musical aspects' fault, but the stage setting together with it. I'll dig further on that later, but the thing shakes the heaven. It is definitely the last straw that broke the camel's back. If you're an old audience or had been through most of my episodes, in the December of last year, I reviewed on Julia Bullock's revision of Nino Nativity Reconsidered. That version is very politically correct. I'm not saying that being politically correct is a bad thing, but rather makes it more interesting as we see more of the diverse perspectives in art. If you want to know more about that version, just go to episode number 5. But after viewing this, what do we call it, original slash formal Nino, I actually don't see much of the connections while identifying they both rooted the same music, because clearly that they are musically connected. One is more like a formal opera setting, one is more like a chamber oratorio. To move on from that, I needed to introduce Nino a bit. I never understand what does those two words mean. Is it referring to the little boy in Spanish, or the unusual warning of surface waters in the Eastern Pacific Ocean? So, premiered in 2000, Nino is an opera oratorio. I first learned Joan Adams' name through the opera Nixon in China, and I just realized that you can't look for melody in his arias. To me, all the words sounds like recitative or recitativo, in which a singer is allowed to adopt the rhythm and delivery of ordinary speech. One of the most interesting thing about this opera is that it requires a trio of countertenors, or 3 countertenors being said, and a 45-piece orchestra with guitars and keyboard. Nino has the shortest synopsis I ever seen. It is an 2.5 hours opera, and it is only 13 lines, occupy about half page. So it actually leaves the audience plenty of spaces for imagination and interpretation. Because I actually don't know much about religion, and I don't know how to abbreviate it, so I won't make any mistakes or offend anyone. And it is short, so let me just read the whole synopsis. Part 1. Mary's virtue is phrased. She is visited by the Holy Spirit, who tells her of the miracle to come. Joseph is angered to discover that Mary is pregnant. He is reassured by an angel of the Lord. The birth of Jesus is heralded by a star in the east. Part 2. Three wise men arrive in Jerusalem in search of the child, Herod. Hearing that a new king of the Jews has been born, sends the wise men to find him. They present Jesus with the precious gift. An angel of the Lord tells Joseph and Mary to flee to Egypt, for Herod wants to destroy the child. Herod, who has been mocked by the three wise men, ordered that of the children in Bethlehem shall be killed. Jesus performs miracle to rescue and protect his mother as they travel with Joseph through the desert to safety. So, in conclusion, as a nativity oratorial, it retells the Christmas story. I must say that this opera catches me from the first note. I must say that the Met Orchestra is a great orchestra. And second of all, I like minimalism music, but not Asop, who contribute much to this, because even though she conducted Nixon in China and all the other contemporary operas, I'm just not too sure that if she fully understands what minimal music is. She doesn't have the level of mastery of rhythm and contrast techniques that will make me feel that the role of the conductor can't be filled with someone else. And in contrast, as what I play, you should listen to the recording of Kent Nagano with the Deutsches Symphony Orchestra Berlin. Off the stage setting are purely genius. They used LED screen, but not in the board and usual way. This time, it serves as a background for the whole time, but fits the opera well that I don't even realize it is a LED screen for long. It is not like, oh, this is a part of the stage design, but naturally there, creating more for the complex art presentation. In the first few sections, they use techniques of wire flying. That's really cool, and surprisingly enough, they didn't put it up as a part of the advertisement. The fact that the opera is built on 24 separate pieces and they are smoothly transacted, the production team is actually full with genius. Why can't this replace Carmen? After saying all those good words and explaining why I like this, is definitely the most creative opera in the season. I have to say that all these are just like mortar on. I'm sure I like it and can appreciate it, but just physically torture the current me. I actually throw off is because of the stage setting of the first part. So like in the world of Cthulhu Mythos, I'm 100% sure that they was inspired by the street art and cannabis shops along NYC. Those purple and grayish color reminds me of 12 a.m. subway and makes me so uncomfortable. And eventually in the Sing Shakes the Heaven section and Joseph String, which is the section before it, with all the moving eyes on stage that's watching you, it just horrified me. Anyways, I just realized I forgot to say something that's related to the singers. I never know that is Julia Bullock's debut at the Met. I mean, she's now in a really good position. Her Met debut is the work that she's closely related to, and she also takes the main role, and people recognize her. She had the advantage. Jenai Bridges, who sings the mezzo-soprano part, gives me a huge surprise. I first knew her through the role Nefertiti in my favorite opera, Akhenaten. But now, after 5 years, well, can you believe 2019 is 5 years ago? Her skills improve. Her voice is very solid and expresses her role well. And the Von Tings is also really good. He's really loud and able to fulfill the house. He kind of wakes me up. I just want to make a quick comparison here. I think Inigo is actually just Akhenaten in the opposite end. Because for the stage setting of Akhenaten, it follows the basic rules of minimalism. We have Anthony Rusco's Costanza on stage with a moon, and that's the full scene. But right here, we're expressing a really complex art. We have different parts of it. You can see different layers of the fake paper plants and different people dancing. There are always a lot of things that's fulfilling the stage. So I would like to say that's really interesting. And let me just quote from the opera. There's one line saying ugly, bored, and sick. Well, I'm not saying anything. But that's really interesting because that's at the moment where I want to throw up. And I think that kind of resonates with me a little bit, even though I like the opera. I'm not saying that it's bored, but it's kind of ugly and sick from my perspective. Anyway, I actually really like this opera, and if I see it earlier, I'll definitely go see it again, and under the risk of physical discomfort. The stage design is really the best I've seen in this year so far, even though I said a lot of bad things about it, but it is really impressive, the creativity that's demonstrated there. And thank you so much for listening. And as always, if you have any questions, comment, opinion on what I said, or just want to talk to me, please email olindatown@gmail.com. It is AULINDATANG@gmail.com. See you in my next episode. I'll probably upload it in Tuesday. It will all be about Orpheus and Eurydice. So, bye!